Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first segment of our show today, folks, is a post-dated interview, so some of the events referred to may already have passed. Our show, we'll hear from Nicole Daigneault. She'll be giving us an update on her yoga program for people with disabilities.
Thanks, Cam.
So tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with your yoga program.
Okay, thank you, Cam.
Of course.
I want to always let people know that the classes at Harmony in Action always continue, Thursdays at 10, and Saturday mornings at the Jackson Park Health Center at 11:15, and those are open to anyone with physical and intellectual disabilities who would like to come in and learn some breathing techniques, learn how to strengthen their core muscles, stretch their spines, and just do the movements that they're able to do with modifications that I give them. So first and foremost, those are always going on. Those are both programs that have been going on for 4 years now, 4 years plus. And then just all my other yoga classes continue. I teach standard classes at Windsor Squash and Fitness Club and at the University of Windsor. And I guess that's what particularly today I'd like to talk to you about, because spring session is starting at the university. It starts next week, the week of May 2nd, and the first week is always free. So I will be teaching the Monday and Wednesday evening class this spring, 6 till 7 p.m. And what I would really like students to know, and all community members, because the campus rec classes are open to everybody. You don't have to be affiliated with the university at all, but I'd really like people to know that those classes are accessible too. If you've ever considered doing yoga, but you just don't think that you can because you have perhaps a knee injury, or you use a cane, or you use a scooter or a wheelchair, I welcome everybody to come in, no matter what kinds of abilities or disabilities you might have. And we can all practice yoga together because I can give you modifications according to your needs. So at the multipurpose room in the St. Denis Center, we have all kinds of yoga mats. We've got thicker mats. We've got chairs. We've got the wall for support. And those are the kinds of modifications that I like to give people who might not consider themselves able to do a regular yoga class. So I want to welcome everybody, all levels, all areas of experience in yoga, to come out and try it out, remembering that the first week is free, so you can come in without any kind of financial commitment. And if you do take the 8-week session, I know that campus rec courses are extremely affordable, so that might just be a really nice way to spend your Monday and Wednesday evenings coming in, learning to deepen your breath, breathe properly, move muscles that could use a good stretch, strengthen muscles that might be a little bit weak, and use chairs and walls and different things like that for support if you need it. So that would be a really great thing for people to know about.
So when you mention modifications, does a person using a modified program tend to see comparable results? Say, does a person with a disability get muscle stimulation and sort of a calming influence as yoga tends to have in the able-bodied population.
So, I'm sorry, is your question about staying calm? I didn't really understand the question, I'm sorry.
It's just, do people with disabilities with a modified program get comparable results to their able-bodied counterparts?
I believe so. I mean, let's take, for example, somebody who might spend the better part of their day in a wheelchair or maybe even in an office chair, say somebody who is able-bodied, but they spend a heck of a lot of time in their office chair, they're going to get certain muscle groups that are always in relaxed mode and other muscle groups that are always in contracting or shortening mode. So I look at each individual and I get a sense of what muscles are too contracted, too dominantly strong, always in that contract mode, maybe, you know, legs always bent, things like that. And we try to find ways to get extension in muscles that are contracting and strength in muscles that might be too weak or always in the more passive mode. So, you know, when you ask about will they get the same results, absolutely. I mean, any movement is good. It's good for your lymphatic system to move the body, to squeeze and contract the muscles, to lengthen and stretch out the muscles. It's going to get the circulatory system going. It's going to get that detoxification lymphatic system going. Everybody starts to feel better. We get better bowel movements. All the organs start to work better because we're twisting and contracting the low back and belly. So everybody benefits from it, even if, you know, they're not doing, big fancy standing balances or on their head balances. That's not really my goal, to get everybody doing all these fancy poses. My goal is to get people out of their comfort zone, out of the chair that they might be in all day, changing the different positions, or if they do choose to stay in their chair, to learn to sit in that chair differently, maybe less, you know, deep low back curve, because they're going to learn to straighten it up. They're going to learn to curve and twist and stretch out shoulder muscles that might be hunched forward. And of course, that's going to benefit everybody. So like I said, it's not really a competition, who can do, you know, more or the best or any kind of pose. That's not what my yoga classes are about. I really am not too concerned about people achieving these big results. I like the slow, steady, lifelong, life-enhancing practice that is a daily practice that includes breathing and gentle stretching and activating those muscles that might be otherwise weak. I can challenge and advance people who can go into those poses. And my classes, if you can, maybe come and see them sometime, like I keep asking you to. But you'll see that, some people are doing some things because they can do that, and other people are doing a modification that they can do. And I'm hoping that everybody is content. That's kind of the goal, is that you're content and accepting of what your body can do and really acknowledging its limitations and slightly challenging those limitations, slightly breaking out of what you think is your full ability. You can go just a little bit further maybe, and that's what it's all about, just being really non-judgmental, totally accepting, learning new things, gaining more awareness, gaining more body consciousness, having a sense of, you know, am I thirsty? Am I hungry? Do I just need a big, deep breath? Because often we are thinking that, oh, I'm so starving, I'm depleted, we have low energy, and we think we need to eat. But really what we need to do is breathe deep, get some oxygen in, and everybody benefits from that. So that's my roundabout way of answering that question. Everybody's going to benefit from it in their own unique way.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Just a quick reminder, folks, That was a post-dated interview, and some of the events Nicole talked about may already have passed. But the thing is, I love hearing about her yoga program. Fact is, it's opening doors of pain relief and increased mobility, increased consciousness for people with disabilities. Fact is, it sounds like such a simple thing. Just work on your breathing. But the thing is, we don't consider necessarily what effect that can have for a person with a disability. Getting an increased blood flow, relieving pain. For the first time in their lives, potentially, they might be finding a comfortable movement or a comfortable position for themselves. And I'm pleased to say that over the years, Nicole's program has grown considerably, gone from just a handful of clients to where she can really reach out, have a positive impact on the disability community. But the fact of the matter is, she actually has a heart for this work. That's key in anyone who supports people with disabilities. They have to be firmly committed. It has to be something that's not just meaningful for the clients, but meaningful for they themselves. It has to be something that enriches their daily life, that they can say, I'm making a real difference in the disability community, not, oh, I'm making a token gesture just to collect a paycheck. That's not a heart to serve. When it's someone who does it because they recognize the potential of these good people, that's someone who finds this work deep and meaningful. And from all the interviews with Nicole, I can safely say that she's such a person. This work really does matter to her. She recognizes the full potential of her clients to achieve greater things. Even if it's just a simple step forward, it is a step in the right direction. It is something that can lead to great change. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned. But before we cut to our commercial break, here's a special announcement from recurring guest Joanna Zine.
Hi everyone, it's Joanna again from Crohn's and Colitis Canada. I have a special announcement to make. Next week on Wednesday, May 11th, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings from 11 to 11. You can come by and it's called Eat Wings, Raise Funds. And for every meal that is served, if you present a ticket, and we'll be there to make sure as much money is donated as possible, but for every ticket that you present with your meal, 10% of your meal will be donated to Crohn's and Colitis Canada. So we're asking everybody to come out if they're available on May 11th.
Thanks for letting the audience know.
The Green Bean Cafe is Windsor's independent cafe specializing in fair trade, organic, and premium coffee products. Along with our delicious coffee, we serve other great food and drinks like tea, fresh baked goods, sandwiches, and more. Visit us on the lower level of 2320 Wyandotte Street across from the new engineering building, or the third floor at 300 Willette Avenue's Windsor Star Building. Get hours and more information at greenbeancoffee.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Nicole Daigneault. She told us a little bit about the latest happenings with her yoga program. We also heard a special announcement from recurring guest Joanna Zine about a charity event for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Gutsy Walk. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Lauren Dimtro and Ben Magda, two young people who are going to benefit from the Crohn's and Colitis Gutsy Walk. They're going to be sharing their experiences, what it's like to be a child with this condition. Gutsy Walk. So tell me a little bit about how you got involved with this year's Gutsy Walk.
We got involved by the hospital telling us about the charity, and we wanted to help out.
So, you both have the condition. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Maybe some of how it's affected you?
It's affected me because, like, I was diagnosed when I was about 8, and then I just got really sick in the hospital, and then, like, I had to change my diet and everything, and then they diagnosed me with colitis, but then, like, a few months later, they diagnosed me with Crohn's disease, and so it's affected me, like, I haven't been able to eat food for some time, and medications and stuff, so.
So, can you tell me a little bit about some of the treatments, how the doctors might have provided support for you?
I was in the hospital, there was this one nurse that would come in and she would show me what would be happening to me, and it really helped me, and she made me happy.
So, what do you think the community is going to get out of the Gutsy Walk? What do you hope they'll learn because of this effort?
I hope that they'll learn that Crohn's is actually affecting more people than they think it is, and I hope that they'll get to know more about the disease.
So have you been involved with the walk before?
Yes, 3 years now.
Well, how do you suppose this year's event will compare with previous efforts?
It's going to be bigger than other years because we've put in a lot of effort this year.
A lot more effort than, like, last year.
Yeah.
Like, last year it was just, like 100 people walking, and now they're, like, getting, like, all of these big balloons and stuff, and they're making it, like, a really, really big event this year.
And we've told everyone that we've known, and they are glad to come out and enjoy the day with us.
So, have there been any challenges that you've seen in putting this together?
Not really. Everyone's really glad to help out.
And since you've been involved before, what's been the greatest success that you've seen in terms of this work?
New medications. Like, sometimes I see, like, I'm watching TV and I just see these commercials for new medications that are coming out. And, like, I think that some of the reasons why the medications have been coming out is because of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation.
So, do you see yourselves getting involved more and more with the work that's being done?
Yes.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for greater awareness of the condition itself and the treatments and the fact that a person with Crohn's and colitis can live a full, normal life, what would you say?
I would say it affects a lot of kids in our community.
And a lot of
adults. So, you're the honorary Gutsy Walk chair, I've heard. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, this year at the walk, we'll be helping out a lot. And Ben and me will be we'll be working together to support the community and Crohn's and Colitis Foundation.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the community support and how people can get involved?
People can get involved by, like, doing small things, like even visiting the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation on, like, our website, like crohnsandcolitis.ca.
And they can give donations.
So, I hear you have some teams going for this work. Tell me a little bit about those.
My team name is Lawrence Lions, and it's got bigger and bigger every year.
Oh, very nice.
My team name is Team Magda, and yeah.
Well, so, Ben, I hear next year you're going to be the chair as The honorary chair is Lauren, as this year. What do you hope will be accomplished in the next year? What steps do you think will be taken?
I hope that there can be more money raised each year, and that, like, the honorary chairs people can kind of look at and kind of think that they're not just donating to some disease, like they're donating to kids that are affected by this disease as are adults.
So, where can people go for more information about this work?
People can go to goodsywalk.ca.
Is there anything you want to say to the audience on a personal note about how you feel about this condition, what the community should do?
We need awareness. So the condition is very painful, and a lot of people have it. So they can help out and raise more donations.
And you, Ben?
And they can, like, you can get the donations, and these people that might not know what Crohn's and colitis is, like, if they go onto the website, they can find out more about how this disease is affecting people. And, like, when someone's, like, asking you for a donation for Crohn's and colitis, you'll know that it's not just, like, for some old adults and stuff, and it's for young kids that are affected the same way, and some even worse than adults are, with Crohn's and colitis.
Like to thank you both. So, for those in our audience who don't necessarily know, what exactly is Crohn's and colitis, and how does it affect a person?
Crohn's and colitis is an autoimmune disease that affects your digestive system, and, like, symptoms for it are, like, bad stomach pain and joint pain, and, like, the medications that I've been on are prednisone and methotrexate, but methotrexate isn't working for me very well, so I'll probably have to go on Remicade.
So,
and I've been on Remicade for 3 years now, and it's been working very well for me.
So the medication does tend to help, but it is a manageable condition then. Like to thank you both very much for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you.
Of course. What can I tell you, folks? These kids deserve to have their voices heard. No matter what age a person has their disability at, it's always a matter of reaching the community. It's always easiest when the community finds it accessible. They say to themselves, it's a very public, very open event, and this is something that I can relate to. These kids shared their stories with hope and optimism because they believe the world can be a better place, a more understanding place when it comes to their respective conditions. I'd say this is true of any disability. Fact is, if you believe there's hope, there starts to be. If you say to yourself enough days in a row, this is going to be a good day for me, and this is going to be a day where my condition does not control me. If you say that enough days in a row, one of them you will be right. One, you will find the strength. Now, these young kids, they really do deserve to grow up in a world understanding and respect for their conditions. Any parent wants what's best for their child. They, out of love, will go to the moon and back for their kids. Looks of pride in the parents of these kids' eyes as they sat here today doing their thing, sharing their story. They showed such love and such respect for the work these kids are doing. Being out there at a young age saying, we're the leaders of tomorrow. We want you to understand this is one part of who we are, but it is not all that we are. It's raising awareness among the young people who today are just learning what this means, but tomorrow may be leading the world. maybe building the policies and the infrastructure to make things better. Every child has potential, as does every person. Every person with a disability is no exception. They all have the ability to learn, grow, create, dream, love, what have you. And I think it's events like the Gutsy Walk that really put a very human, very public face on these matters. Yes, we as a society might assume we know everything about it, or we might not have a comfort level talking about a condition that affects digestion. But it's not going to get any better if we keep these things in the shadows. Same is true with things like mental illness. As long as we keep up the stigmas, as long as we keep up these illusions of discomfort and these barriers, these problems won't get solved. But by taking a public stand, by saying, we are what we are, we have a right to inclusion, and we want you to share in our lives and our work, just as you would share in anyone else's life or work. That is breaking down those myths, those barriers. The truth is, I've been following the progression towards the Gutsy Walk with great interest, because I believe this is something that the public needs to know. This is something we can all take a cue from. These aren't just statistics somewhere. These are real people. These are kids, families, people who are loved, people who go to school, who, depending on their age, have jobs, families, commitments. They're no different than anyone else in society, except for one minor factor. And even these kids know that it doesn't have to rule them, that it is manageable, that it is controllable. But we as a society need to know more. It is never okay to say to ourselves, I've read this or that about a condition. It must be true. It must be that one opinion on what this means is the end-all be-all. The fact is, people with disabilities, they defy the odds every day. Simply a matter of recognition. They're out there, living with strength, living with dignity, doing their thing, coming up with new innovations, and yes, even wanting to share their insights with a public that needs to understand. With all the technological advancements and all the new policies that have come into the world, these are wonderful things, but the key is in how we use them. How we say this technology can benefit someone with a disability. Social media is a great example, in my opinion. It's raising awareness for disability events right, left, and sideways. And the truth is, the public needs to know that there is more going on than just the heavily publicized stuff. The public has every right to know that the leaders of tomorrow and the leaders of today really can be a part of events, and policies, programs to make things better for people with disabilities. But in so doing, they're making it better for all of us. No one would argue that increased enlightenment about your fellow human beings would be a negative thing. No one would ever say, at least in my opinion, that understanding that Crohn's and colitis are simply conditions, controllable conditions. No one would ever say that knowing that, that understanding these are human beings entitled to respect and dignity is a bad thing. For the truth is, they are. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.